Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Hello to you. There you are. Morning. You alright? I do hope you are. Sincerely hope you are. You're watching this live. You're my people. Of course I care about you. My band of brothers and sisters. The glorious band. The chosen few. Very, very best among us. As always, I am joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Okay, it is 8 in the a.m., which is summertime. It's now Tuesday, the 28th of April in the year of our Lord, 2026. Should we just get straight into it? Stop faffing about. It's quite enough fannying about for one morning. Let's just get straight into it. What's the corporate legacy mainstream media banging on about this morning, lying to you by omission, if nothing else? That cabal of evil Fleet Street editors trying to tell you what is or isn't important, you know. Don't talk too much about that car bomb in Northern Ireland. Bury that as deep as possible, yeah? Yeah. Don't talk much about the the Ukrainian rent boy arson trial. Bury that. Don't put that on the front pages. Bury it super deep, yeah? Epstein's connection to the fifth Baron Rothschild. Don't mention that again, yeah? Like every day, yeah? The United Kingdom and PM battles to block Slee's vote. They're the two big stories this morning, on the front pages anyway, wall to wall. Very different person. King Charles III, big fat sausage fingers, Chuck Mountbatten, Chaz Saxe-Coburg-Gotha went to America. He's going to try and paper over all the problems in the special relationship. He's landed in the United States to fanfare, 4-day state visit, and the Donald. That is the main thing today. There's not a fantastic amount going on in the Straits of Hormuz, they've decided. And so it's this. They're bored talking about the price of oil. Should we have a quick look at the price of oil? It's a little bit higher than yesterday. It is. West Texas is now just shy of $100, $98. Brent, $110. It's creeping up, isn't it? Creeping up, creeping, creeping. Okay. The Times. We'll start with the venerable Times. What have we got here? The added flavour in danger. How stolen ships really do taste better. Oh, what a ridiculous story. I think it's literally, only scanned it really briefly. It seemed like complete slop nonsense that they did some sort of test about, quite literally, about stolen food. Literally that. It tastes better if you steal the food.
Okay, bit weird.
There you go. There's a picture. Camilla, sausage fingers, the Don, and his wife. Melania. Big news, right? Big stuff. King's message of unity as he arrives in the US. Can the special relationship be salvaged? Well, Harry, we didn't talk about a poll this morning. Put a poll up, something like, can Charles salvage the special relationship?
All right.
Or, you know, do you think King Charles will salvage a special relationship, something like that. Okay, something like that. PM battles to block Slee's vote. So this is a thing. This is probably the second biggest story of the day. pressure on Labour MPs to see off inquiry into Mandelson affair by committee that ended Boris Johnson's political career. So Kemi Badenoch, Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman, LARPing as the leader of the Loyal Opposition, wants a full-blown parliamentary inquiry into Starmer and the Mandelson affair. And it needs to be voted on in Parliament. But of course, Labour have got a big majority, haven't they? So you would you would imagine that if Labour didn't want that to happen, it just wouldn't pass a vote in Parliament and just wouldn't happen. But there's lots of people in the Parliamentary Labour Party who don't like Starmer, want to see him out, humiliated and or out for whatever reason. So it might pass, but the insiders, people that know what they're really, really talking about, saying it probably won't, because Labour are going with a three-line whip. Now, anyone who doesn't know what that is, perhaps foreign people can be forgiven for not necessarily knowing all about that. The whip system in Parliament. A three-line whip means that you've got to do it, otherwise you're in big trouble. Otherwise, you'll never, ever, ever get a job in government ever, ever again if you defy a three-line whip. There's no actual whipping, physical whipping involved. There's just these certain people in the party called the whip. It's a pretty old school thing. It's like a public school thing, it feels like to me, isn't it? And they're just sort of party enforcers. That's all that really is. And like a one-line or a two-line or a three-line whip. It's a one-line whip. It comes down from your party leaders. We're going to whip this one. We really, really need you to vote with us, with the government. And if you don't, we'll take note of it. We'll remember it. But if it's a three-line whip, it is sort of saying, we insist that you vote the way we want you to. In Parliament, this is. Yeah, if you defy a three-line whip, you're out of favour forever. Well, as long as that government exists, anyway. And word is that Starmer's called a three-line whip on this thing to block an inquiry into a sleaze inquiry into him and the Mandelson thing. And apparently they've got the numbers to do that, so it looks like Kemi and people that want the full truth will be thwarted. There was one thing, where was it? I think it might be it was on Sky News. Yeah, let's just watch this real quick, because this guy's the chief political correspondent from Sky News, so he can tell us a tiny bit about the reality of it. I'll just play maybe 1 minute of this. Okay.
What is the Privileges Committee exactly, and what might happen if MPs vote to refer the Prime Minister to an investigation by it? With just over a week to go before the local elections on May the 7th, MPs are due to vote on a motion tabled by Kemi Badenoch. She'll claim that the Prime Minister misled MPs in the House of Commons over the Mandelson vetting scandal. But might the Prime Minister actually be investigated? All the signs are that the government will comfortably win the vote with its big Commons majority. Even the malcontents on the Labour backbenches, those who want the Prime Minister to go and those who are supporters of Angela Rayner or Andy Burnham, are unlikely to want to fire the starting gun now on a Labour leadership race. The committee is made up of seven MPs.
There you go.
Four Labour, two
now.
Conservative.
Be quiet, John Craig. That's enough of you. OK, so there you go. And, you know, it's his job, people like him, to actually know what the numbers would be if it came to a vote in Parliament. And he's saying, they're saying, Labour's got the numbers to sort of put the kibosh on this thing. So there you go. Probably a bit of a storm in the teacup. Nonetheless, a lot of the papers are going with it. This could be Starmer's day of reckoning. Probably not, though. I mean, it might be. Right, tomorrow morning. Because the vote is supposed to happen this evening. So by tomorrow morning, both show tomorrow morning on Wednesday, we'll know one way or the other. Could be wrong. Like that analysis from Sky News there could just prove to be wrong. But I suspect not. So yeah, loads of the papers like Starmer's Day of Reckoning. Yeah, doubt it. Probably not. Because as he said there, and as everyone knows, the other big beasts in Labour, like Rayner, say, they don't want to knock Starmer down, like mortally wound him politically at this moment. This sort of a bad moment for it. You know, we're only like, what, 10 days, 11, 12 days, whatever it is, out from those local elections where Starmer and Labour are going to get absolutely trounced. Then that's the moment. That's the moment to try and stab him in the front. I mean, Kemi should know that. Why doesn't Kemi just wait? Wait for 2 weeks or less and then do this. But, okay, all right. We'll see what happens tonight in that vote. Maybe they will win that vote and there'll be a parliamentary inquiry into the sleaze, whether he misled Parliament, whether he lied to Parliament when he said, all the vetting was done, I didn't know XYZ until this certain point in time, to see whether that is, that those were indeed liars or not. Okay. The Guardian. Don't want. Revolting, The Guardian. Oh. And shiver down my spine. Okay. PM pleads for unity among Labour MPs over a critical Mandelson vote. You know, unity. Please don't stab me in the back. It's the sort of thing, if you had a normal government and a normal leader with a big majority, wouldn't even need to really make sort of pleas like that. You would just be given that, yeah, your party or the vast majority of them would just back you up. Of course they would. What, the opposition is trying to take you down? That's the enemy, the other side. Of course we'll vote against that. It's us versus them, of course. But Starmer and this government isn't really all that normal, is it? Stick together, urges Starmer, as ministers seek to stave off revolt. Okay. No cameras at Trump's meeting with King. We just had a private tea. When Charles first touched down yesterday. There, all right. The Daily Telegraph, the Tory Graph, how Hollywood turned on Anne Hathaway. Don't care, profoundly don't care about that. Starmer pleads with MPs to save him. All right. King, Britain and US must come together. I mean, Trump is. This isn't coming from a place of TDS, by the way. But Trump is sort of quite a reasonably changeable character. Is that fair? I think that's a fair thing to say. Like, if he likes you and you impress him one way or another, he may well sort of change his mind, his thoughts and feelings about stuff. If Charles's charm offensive, if it works, and Trump decides, you know what, maybe I should just chill out on criticising the UK all the time. It might work, won't it? It might. I mean, I know Trump does genuinely seem to like both the monarchy as a whole and actually Sausage Fingers himself. Seems to like him and get on. And that means a lot to Trump, doesn't it? Like being a New York property dude, first and foremost. That's what Trump is, isn't it? Real life relationships are everything to him, aren't they? Sort of. Well, not everything, but. It's a really, really big part of it. If you treat him well, he quite often treats you well, doesn't he? But if you're a dick to him, then you're in trouble, as far as he's concerned. We shall see. It's not very long, is it? Like, it's a 4-day trip, and I think only 2 of those days he's actually sort of with the president, so to speak. So he's only got a handful of hours. The thing about King Charles, or Prince Charles as was, I think this is also fair to say, people might disagree with me a bit, but I think it's fair to say, he's a little bit of a Marmite character as well. A lot of people find him sort of cold and aloof and arrogant and not a nice person, really not a nice person. To loads of people around him, he's horrible. But if he decides he wants to be super nice to you and super charming, he can do that. He has got that gear. That's what other people say. bit of a, yeah, like a bit of a Marmite thing. If he decides he wants to turn on the charms, be all sweetness and light, and sort of somehow let Trump bask in the glow of his royalty, it might work. Who knows? Who knows? It might work. All right. Security guards should not tackle shoplifters, say union bosses. Yeah, because most unions are completely, completely infiltrated and subverted by leftists and socialists and commies and traitors. So, yeah. They would say that. What a mad thing that even your unions say, just let people steal. Just let some absolute scumbag come into your shop, whether it's a big shop or whatever, and just brazenly just fill up baskets of stuff, just sweeping shelves of stuff into their baskets and walking out. Just let them do it. All right, so no more law and order then. That's the end of a rules-based society then, is it? Because what? Because health and safety, the article says, because on health and safety grounds, shouldn't ever tackle them or confront them because of health and safety. Okay. It's because you're commies and you want our society to be broken. Union bosses. Ugh. The Independent, there's Sausage Fingers and his missus again. Just got moved my backup tea here. It's not a second cuppa. All right. The Independent. King Charles's tricky task with Trump. Don't mention the war. Don't mention World War II when you're talking to Germans. Don't mention the war. It'd be embarrassing for them. But in this instance, obviously, don't mention the war. Iran, Falklands, or the Ukraine. Starmer faces vote of inquiry into misleading MPs. MP urges Labour backbenchers to ignore political stunt. That's what Starmer called it. This whole thing is just a stunt. There's nothing to see here. I've been perfectly honest all the way along at every stage of this. There's nothing more to find. So it's just a stunt. Is it though? There's loads of questions left. The most salient one, which an actual this inquiry probably wouldn't be able to get to, to actually put its thumb on the main issue. Why Mandy at all? Why Mandy in the first place? Why was he even on a list of people you wanted in that job? Like, who's the current ambassador to the US right now? You don't know his name, do you? I read his name the other day and I've already forgotten it. Why? Because it's basically a nobody. Because it's basically a Foreign Office insider person who you would never have heard of. And that's the way it is. That's the way it should be. That's normal. Why? That's the real thing. Why did you want Peter Mandelson in that job at all? Don't worry about Ollie Robbins. Don't worry about Morgan McSweeney's phone necessarily. All of these things, the vast majority of it, distraction, window dressing. Why did you want Mandy in that job? Then you didn't even speak to him before he got the job. Did someone tell you to pick him? If so, who? If you go, if start, no, this probably, this inquiry, if it goes ahead, which it probably won't, but if it did, they probably won't ask those questions, the most salient questions about the whole thing. If I could get Keir Starmer and somehow on a truth serum so he couldn't just lie, why did you want him? If you weren't told by someone above your pay grade, like the fifth Baron Rothschild, if you weren't told by somebody else to pick Mandy, then why did you? What was going on in your mind? Why him? You just owe him a favour for helping you get the Labour leadership in the first instance. Bit of a shaky reason, bit of a shaky logic, doesn't really add up. Of all the positions, of all the ways you could repay him politically, you do that. Super, super sensitive. It's a sensitive position, isn't it? You get access to like the highest intelligence, don't you? Mandy. Okay. The Daily Mail, complete globalist slop, trying to pretend it's not. Welcome to the USA, Your Majesty. Yep, all right. So Keir's Day of Reckoning. See, they keep calling it a Day of Reckoning. It's not really, it probably won't be. Well, even if it is, it's not like that day. Even if this vote did pass, it's not like he's forced out of office that day or anything close to it. It's not really a Day of Reckoning. They can't help but go with hyperbole, can they? I mean, they've got to sell papers, I suppose. They've got to get clicks, like all of us. It's only when people accuse Lotus Eaters, or anyone ever, of slop, or grifting, or whatever, sensationalism. It's like, yeah, unfortunately, that is a bit the nature of the game. Why have you put, like, a really pretty woman on the thumbnail or something? Yeah, because it's the game of trying to get people to click on things. Like, if you're deliberately really, really boring and the thumbnails aren't eye-catching or whatever, then you get less clicks. And we are a business. Like all these things are a business. They do have to try and make money. You have to turn a profit, otherwise the whole thing is dead. Oh, it's so slop. It's all slop. Don't click on it then. All right. PM ready to order Labour backbenchers to vote against Mandelson ethics inquiry that could force him from office. I mean, it's all a bit... It could do that. It might do this. It might do that. It's all down the road. And probably won't anyway. Starmer's stitch up to save his own skin. Like calling a three-line whip is a stitch up. No, it's completely normal parliamentary procedure. It's sort of built into the process for centuries. It's not necessarily fair. I don't like it. I hate it. I hate the whip system, by the way. Can I go off on one for a couple of minutes about the whip system? Does anyone mind? No? When I first found out about the whip system, and I was a late teenager, maybe in my early 20s before I actually took it on board, what it really was, what it really meant. I thought, well, that's horrible. That's one more layer of, like, something that's at odds with democracy itself. So you've returned an MP to Parliament. Hopefully he's going to represent you and what you want, hopefully. A lot of the time just won't. He's still going to do what he wants, what's good for his career. But the idea is supposed to represent you, the normal person. And then, okay, so... loads of time they just don't do that anyway. And then on top of that, there's this whip system where the party leadership can sort of kind of force him, coerce him, largely, quite well. The whip system works quite well. On top of that, there's the whip system, which may well force him to vote against, like, his and your wishes now. There's that as well. If I was the leader of a party in Parliament, I wouldn't use the whip system at all. They call it a free vote, right? Like the party is going to let all its MPs vote entirely as they wish. Every single vote, I would have a free vote. And if you lose, you lose. Like win the argument on something or don't. Try and win the argument. Rather than just whipping your MPs into line. Having said that, once in a blue moon, you might sort of have to. But rarely, very rarely. I'll put it that way, okay. If I was the leader of a party in Parliament, I would very, very rarely use any whipping. Very, very rarely. Hardly ever. I would try and make the argument. I would like to think that all my MPs were behind me and was thought similarly about everything, more or less everything. Anything big. The idea that you select MPs in the first place that have got at least a similar view as yours, a similar vision for what Britain is and should be. Right, and then when there's votes in Parliament, you don't need to whip them, you shouldn't need to force them against their better judgment to do anything. How about that? Rather than you're just at war with your own party the whole time. The leadership want something completely different to all the other MPs in that party. That's not good. That's not healthy. What's that? What is that? It's just a tiny little cabal at the top of a party working against the interests of their own MPs and the country. Just actually be authentic and win the argument. What's wrong with that? Anyway, my little mini rant about the whip system. Horrible. I think it's horrible. You might have to use it once in a blue moon, though. If your own party are, like, trying to do something odd, some sort of weird 4D chess machination thing, and it's sort of life and death, politically, for, like, the country on something. Maybe. Even then. I would have basically free votes basically the whole time. More or less the whole time. That's just my view. The Express, oh, it's a good paper. Okay, so Keir Starmer accused of spending billions on benefits instead of boosting defence. Yeah, that's exactly what's happened, isn't it? PM is, quote, putting welfare ahead of national security, quote. Yeah, we know. Yeah, definitely been doing that. Keir Starmer has been accused of putting funding for benefits claimants ahead of money for defence. As a recruitment crisis hits the military. Yeah, the Express. Yeah, wake up. Everyone's been saying that for ages now. What? Yeah, we know. A good old cuppa with Trump to start King's US state visit. I think he's talking about a cup of tea. They had tea. Tea for two and two for tea. Okay, the other paper. King's warning to America. Charles urges US President and Congress to stick with Europe. Soft diplomacy on agenda in crucial 48 hours to fix friendship. Let's quickly read the blurb on the iPaper and then we'll stop talking about Chuck and the Don. King heads to White House for private afternoon tea at start of 4-day state visit. Attempted shooting could provide a springboard for Trump and the King to strengthen strained special relationship. Though Charles will avoid wading into political differences between the nations, he is likely to send a strong reminder that Britain remains a friend to the US. Insiders expect... This is right at the limit of my vision at the moment. Insiders expect, quote, extra amount of warmth from the King. Yeah, this charm offensive. Sausage Fingers charm offensive operation go. From the King. And won't be afraid to voice his opinions in private. California teacher charged with attempting to assassinate president. Okay. The Daily Star, even the Star goes with the state visit. Security at all-time high as Trump welcomes brave Chaz. They call him Chaz. I think I called him Chaz earlier, didn't I? King of Steel. I don't know what that means. I saw this morning, like an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago. King of Steel. Don't know what that's a reference to or a pun on or anything. I really don't know. There's sort of the Man of Steel, isn't there? Superman. King of Steel? King of... I don't know. If anyone knows. If anyone's got any idea what the Star is blathering on about with that. They say, Man Baby says the Royals will be very safe. They're just happy to call the President of the United States a Man Baby. They do that quite often. Man Baby. Donald Trump, the Man Baby. It's quite dismissive, isn't it? I mean, I'm very dismissive of... I've called Charles a number of times. Sausage Fingers, Mook, Sex, Cobra, Gotha, or whatever. But can you imagine the sort of atmosphere, the tone inside the Daily Star editorial room or senior editor's room where somebody writes... Somebody just wants to call Trump a man baby and... Every single tier of editorial review before it goes to print. Like, yeah, man baby. Yeah, just call him the man baby. Yeah, go. It must just be pure TDS from top to bottom at the Star for some reason. But the Star can be sort of occasionally a bit based about something, you know, like moan about the small boats or whatever. Moan about industrial level rape and things like that. So it's not like they're not quite sort of like the Guardian or the Metro, completely insane communists. But yet, she's got full-blown CDS, apparently. Just happy to call Trump man-baby. All right, the Sun. The exact same picture. They do that, don't they? That's good. United Kingdom. You get it, right? You get the clever wordplay. Kingdom. Kingdom. Yeah. Very, very clever. All right. The mirror, the exact same image. Amid heightened security and tension, Charles arrives in the US with a message of unity. Today he will tell Congress that it is in the hearts of both nations to value people of all faiths and none. What are you talking about? Just empty nonsense, isn't it? Just empty nonsense. Peace envoy. It's a peace envoy, people. And the Metro. Ooh. The Metro. Anger as officials here ask for sacrifice. Iranian officials here, the UK, ask for sacrifice. So they go with something a bit different. It is a little bit worrying, actually. Iran embassy in chilling call for martyrs. To be clear, the UK Iranian embassy. There's the flag. This is that building in Kensington. Remember where the SAS had to storm it in 1980? You might remember that? Aware of that? It's been a pain in the arse since day one. Did I say arse? I just did, didn't I? I just did it again. You did it again. Said it again. Sorry, it's supposed to be super clean, the breakfast show. Sorry. It's been a pain in the butt since day one. Oh, do you reckon I've ever done any long-form content all about the 1980 Iranian embassy siege, Harry? I reckon I've got, was it close to 2 hours talking in fantastic detail all about the Iranian embassy siege when the SAS had to blow up that very balcony and storm in and save hostages because Iranians in the UK were fighting with each other, effectively. Yeah, I have. One of my better epochs, I think. Some are better than others. Can't avoid that. I think that's a really, really good one. Check it out. Yeah, anti-Ayatollah Iranian terrorists stormed their own embassy in Kensington. All right. In fact, Yeah, here we go. In the Mail, Tehran's embassy in London calls on Iranians living in the UK to sacrifice their lives for the regime, sparking national security fears. Yeah, a little bit worrying. Iranians are claiming, we don't mean actually do terrorist stuff in the UK. Well, that's not what we're saying. It's close to that, though, isn't it? You could take it that way. Pardon me. All right, well, here's the actual message they sent. And there's the original, and there's an English translation, and the translation is really dodgy English. It's not very good English because it's seems to be some sort of direct, maybe AI translation. So I'll read it, but remember, it's a shaky translation. All right, it says, patriotism is from faith. To inform the proud compatriots residing in the United Kingdom, in order to realise the concrete will and national desire for popular defence in the land of Iran, the possibility of registering in the Sacrifice for the Homeland campaign has been provided on the MCHAC system platform to display a manifestation of empathy, loyalty and national zeal in a unified form. Hereby, all brave and noble children of Iran are invited to consciously participate and register in this campaign, adding another golden page to the record of honours of this ancient land and showing that their hearts are devoted to the dignity and pride of the homeland. Undoubtedly, the harmony of the hearts of Iran lovers will guarantee the stability, prosperity, and flourishing of the future of this land. Altogether, let us give our lives better than giving the country to the enemy. Well, there you go. There you go. It isn't explicitly saying, you know, do violent and or terroristic things in the UK. It's not really saying that, is it? Nonetheless, you could read it as though it's like a slightly worrying. Like, all, you know, all Iranians in the UK, give your lives. It also doesn't explicitly say, come back to Iran and give your life, does it? Doesn't explicitly say that. Like, recalling all good, loyal, Ayatollah-loving Iranians that happen to reside in the UK at the moment. Come back to Persia, come back to Iran, and help fight the good fight. It's not saying that, though, is it? All right. It's probably, one way or another, it's probably best not to have millions of foreign nationals in your country at all. Isn't it? I mean, Machiavelli talked about that. Don't allow your country to be flooded by giant amounts of foreigners, whoever they are. That's not prudent. On a meta level. Okay, the Financial Times goes with a bunch of stuff I'm not interested in this morning. Business stuff. All right, that's the papers. We did a poll, did we eventually do a poll, Harry? Okay, bring that up for me. Sorry, the poll was a bit late this morning. Apologies for that, so. All right. Still got 750-odd votes. Nice, thanks for taking part in that, if you're in the chat. You're the best among us. We said, do you think King Charles will salvage the special relationship? 15% of you say yes, 63% say no, and a decent chunk, 22%, say maybe. So yeah, I would have clicked on no or maybe, I think, probably. I mean, I've said before, haven't I? I don't think there was really much of a special relationship outside of Churchill's head in World War II. Certainly by the 50s, certainly after Korea, certainly after the Suez Canal crisis. Not much of a special relationship, really. And nowadays, specifically the personal relationship between Starmer and Trump, well, it's non-existent, isn't it? It's non-existent. I mean, I know the special relationship as a concept is much more than just how much Trump and Starmer like each other. I know it's way more than that. It's a bigger thing than that, isn't it? Conceptually, but nonetheless. For example, at one point there you had George W. Bush, you had W, and Gordon Brown. They hated each other. Well, Gordon Brown hated W, hated him. Their politics are very, 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 very different. At one time, Gordon Brown had to go to the United States, to the White House, for some sort of visit. And W gave him some sort of like leather flying jacket. It was quite cool, like US style fighter pilot sort of leather flying jacket. Gordon Brown just left it on the plane when he come home, just left it there, didn't want it. That's so rude, isn't it? On his way home, just left it on the plane, walked away. Not interested in that. But diplomatically, that's the equivalent of actually slapping him in the face, isn't it? Spitting on his shoes. Sort of saying, I hate you, George W. Bush. I hate you. I hate your politics. I hate everything you stand for. That's what that says, doesn't it? Gordon Brown, obviously a terrible politician. Terrible, wrong-headed, weirdo, red, dour. I hate Gordon Brown. Terrible. Terrible man. Not that I'm a massive fan of George W. If someone said, You've got to be a part. You've got to be a partisan for either George W. Bush or Gordon Brown. I pick W. Anyway, same with this. Starmer and Trump are two very, 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 very different men, aren't they? They look out on the world with very different eyes, don't they? They view everything entirely differently. No wonder they don't see eye to eye. No wonder they don't actually like each other. Trump's very bombastic, isn't he? He's got his own mind, knows what he wants to do, and at least in his way, tries to put America first a lot, doesn't he? Like everything from tariffs to... Tries to do, I think, what he thinks best for the United States. for the West, often, mostly, perhaps not always. But Starmer's just like a full-blown commie traitor, isn't he? Who's too far left for the Fabian Society as a younger man. Tries to undermine Britain at every possible turn. And is a little weakling weasel of a man. Right? You can criticise Trump all you like. You can't say he's a shrinking violet, can you? You can't say that he's a man without a chest. Starmer is, isn't he? All right, should we have a look at the websites? Oh, it's already 22. All right, let's have a... Should we have a quick look at the websites? What do we have? Harry.
Yes.
Do another super quick poll right now. Just okay. Put, do you care about boxing?
Okay.
Just do that right now. And I'll just see what the first few votes come in. Like the first few dozen or whatever. So I'll see whether... Because I think we've asked before if anyone likes F1. That was a resounding no. I think once we asked something about football... And it was also a resounding no. I was going to talk a little bit about Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. But if people don't care about that, I won't bother. And it's good to know going forward. So I'll spend 1 minute saying this whilst that poll is put up. Yeah, apparently there's been a deal struck between Anthony Joshua. I'll leave the mouse to you, Harry. They'll leave. Oh, look, the first few are ticking in. 170, 80, 90, 200 odd votes coming in. It's a no. It's a no. You don't care about boxing. Okay. All right. Well, I won't talk about it at all then. Forget it. All right. I'm a man of people. I'm a river to my people. 70%. Knocking 250 votes straight away. 70% say you don't care about boxing. All right. All right. Fair enough. Political violence. Well, there was something in. Where have we done that? What was it? The Mail, the Express. Sorry, I've got. Yeah, something about Rupert Lowe. Something about Rupert Lowe in the Express. Here we go. This is the first thing, the top thing in the Express this morning. You know, people in Restore have moaned a bit, rightly, that Rupert isn't getting enough or any real sort of exposure from the legacy corporate mainstream media. Although GB News did have him on the other day, didn't they? Jacob Rees-Mogg sat down with him. Wonder if Nyge was annoyed about that behind the scenes. Apparently Nyge calls a lot of the shots at GB News. Obviously not all the shots though, because Mogg sat down with him. And now the Express has actually got a piece as well. One of the first ones I've seen. One of the first big ones, anyway, big ones that they've promoted and put at the top of their website. Sort of even recognising that Rupert's got a party and stuff. Should we read it? Should we have a look at it? Look, Nigel Farage has promised to rescue Britain, but his arch enemy could ruin everything. Like he's Moriarty. Like Nigel is Holmes, and Rupert is Moriarty. And his arch enemy, a long-running feud, is still bubbling away, and it could get even nastier. All right, so look, there's Obi-Wan Kenobi, Roops, Prince Rupert himself. There we go. The article reads, it's not all that long, why don't I just read it all? Nigel Farage will doubtless enjoy basking in the glow of the spring sunshine. It was a bit of a dreary morning this morning in the West. A bit cold and overshadowed and grey, spitting. Anyway, basking in the glow of the spring sunshine and a likely local election runaway success next month. Yeah, Reform, we're going to smash it. They're actually going to smash it. Okay, but there could be dark clouds on the horizon for Nigel and Reform. Revenge is a dish best served cold. And Rupert Lowe is ready to rain on the parade of his former boss and would-be Prime Minister. Mr. Lowe, 68, the millionaire former Southampton Football Club boss and MP for Great Yarmouth, was booted out of Reform UK and reported to police after being accused of bullying staff and making threats to party chairman Zia Youssef. All of which proved to be lies. He strenuously denied all allegations and the Metropolitan Police subsequently dropped an investigation. Because they were lies. He continues to claim it was retribution after criticising Farage's leadership style as messianic. Some wanted him jailed. Lowe, who sits as an independent MP, now leads Restore Britain, and just like Reform, they are after the same voters, kind of. Not entirely, really. There's massive overlap, of course, but... All right. The May 7 elections are too early for his new party, but its sights are set on something bigger, and it could just stop Reform seizing power at the general election. It is fair to say there is no love lost between Farage and Lowe, a political old stager and the new kid on the block. I need to think of Rupert as the new kid on the block. I won't break it out into song of a new kid on the block song. That wouldn't be appropriate at this moment. And, as so often, it comes down to personalities. Lowe called him a coward and a viper after he was vilified and targeted in a brutal smear campaign for the sin of asking legitimate questions about the party's direction, policies and leadership. He is testing the water on May the 7th with candidates standing under the Great Yarmouth First flag, a local offshoot of the Restore Britain party he leads, but not contesting councils nationally for now. Yeah, the party was just too... See, Matt Goodwin saying that. I think I've said this before. Matt Goodwin saying, oh, look, you can't even field candidates all over the country. Yeah, because it's brand new. Logistically, physically, that wasn't possible. And you know that, Matt. Rat. In another swipe at Reform, he said, I'm not going to present to the British people thousands of candidates at the local elections who have not been properly vetted, interviewed or considered. That would be irresponsible and rash. We've seen what happens when new parties do that and the voters get let down. It's absolutely perfectly reasonable thing, isn't it? Perfectly reasonable position to hold, Matt Goodwin. Please be patient. I do not want to be in a position where we have individuals elected who do not understand the important responsibilities of local government. Paper candidates, those with questionable histories, opportunist careerists, individuals who have no interest in working hard, some even simply after the money. You don't get paid all that much to be a councillor, I don't think. Anyway, I do not want to present them to the British people. Look at Reform's track record following its desperation to stand candidates. Promising tax cuts, then hiking people's council tax bills, a staggering 9% in one Reform council. 9% families cannot afford it. Sorry, 9%, full stop, families cannot afford it. It is morally wrong, and I want not to no repeat of it. Let's learn from their mistakes, not our own. We are going to do this right. Where we stand, we will aim to win. Where we win, we will properly represent those residents. We will put forward the right people with the right ideas and the right principles. Good. There's profoundly unserious Nigel Farage doing everything he can to contain real patriots and nativists and then bragging about it. There's Nigel there. Nigel Al Farage, a political weakling and coward, afraid of Islam. Latest Ipsos political pulse data shows Lowe with an 18% favourability rating and outperforming Farage, despite his higher overall profile recognition, in what Restore Britain says indicates a much stronger public response to his message. Yeah, people want millions to go. They want our country back. We don't want someone who's going to capitulate to Islam. We don't want that. We need someone with some backbone, some guts. Party membership now stands at around 132,000. And polling is not insignificant. People saying the whole thing's going to implode within a few weeks. Welcome to your latest tiny party that doesn't get off the ground. Nope. Clashes with Reform High Command over illegal immigration was the real reason Lowe was sidelined. This article's not too bad. Sources suggest, with party bosses upset at his forthright approach to policy. Yeah, he started saying things that real people want to hear. Yeah, he started saying things that aren't just pure containment. Yet to go. They had to try and get him arrested, thrown in prison, didn't they, for that, for the crime of that. Incredibly, the issue of illegal immigration had become a sticking point with its hierarchy, Reform's hierarchy. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Weird. almost like the Reform leadership don't actually, they're still the uniparty. They don't actually want to save our country from demographic decline, and the natives becoming a hated and marginalised minority in their own ancestral homeland. It's almost like Nigel and the Reform leadership don't care about that. It became a sticking point in its hierarchy, despite Farage describing the Channel small boats crisis as a national security emergency. Yeah, it's bigger than the small boat crisis, though, isn't it? It's much, much bigger than that, this issue. One point of disagreement was his repeated call to deport every single illegal migrant. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely. That's just a start. Yes, every single illegal migrant. Yeah, every single one of them. Send them back to their countries of origin. Why not? What possible argument is there against that? Other than you want the country to be destabilised. Unless you want that. Unless you want the crime rate to go up. And the trust in the society go down. Unless you want that. Yeah, every single illegal migrant can go back to their country of origin. Of course. Madness to have anything else. Lowe believes that if you are in the UK illegally, you must be deported. Yes, again, sort of a bare minimum thing. That's just a perfectly reasonable position to hold. That's perfectly reasonable. That's centrist to me. That's a centrist dad position. If you don't want that, you're an extreme leftist. You're a traitor, an extreme leftist, if you don't want that, in my opinion. Those close to Farage were uncomfortable with his opinion. Yeah, of course they were, yeah. Because Nige is a containment project. Yeah. He also irked Farage because he was popular. Ooh. Now we're getting to it. That's not my words. Express article. He also irked Farage because he was popular. Rupert was popular. His broad appeal has won him millions of admirers on social media and a ringing endorsement from the world's richest man, Elon Musk. Who is no dummy, right? Elon Musk met Nige, didn't like him. Said he's like, I can't remember exactly Elon's words, but he was like, yeah, Nige isn't the guy. I paraphrase. But he's like, he's not the guy. He's weak sauce. But he does like Rupert, doesn't he? Because Rupert's like authentic. You believe, I believe, Rupert, Elon believes, Rupert will get it done. Or start to, at the very least. Try and stem the bleeding, just to begin with. Yeah. He also irritated Rupert, also irritated his leader by going rogue in outlining a wide range of policy suggestions, including an action plan to inject life into Britain's high streets, cementing his reputation as a common sense politician. In short, he was too high profile and was stealing Farage's thunder that he did not like. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just the honest truth, isn't it? It's the unvarnished truth. Nigel needs to be sort of the undisputed master of that party. So completely, completely undisputed. Anyone like Zia or Richard Tice ever became a bit too popular, they'd probably find themselves, not that they're going to, because both those men are obnoxious, but might find themselves in a bit of hot water with Nigel. Farage said Lowe, quote, managed to fall out with all his parliamentary colleagues in one way or another. Well, not really, that's not really. That's characterising it unfairly, I would say. Adding, we did our best to keep a lid on things, but in the end, containment strategies invariably fail. Yeah, you tried to contain him, didn't you? You tried to shut him up. You tried to put your thumb on his forehead and push him down and make him be quiet, and it didn't work, did it? Gutted. General election voting intention currently puts Reform on 25% and the Tories on 19%, and others, including Restore Britain and Advance UK, the party led by Ben Habib, another disgruntled former Farage protege, on 7%. Last I saw, although it was about a week ago or more, Restore was more on like 9%. Okay. Different polls come out. They fluctuate, don't they? Reform will clean up on May the 7th. Yeah, they will. But that will only tell part of a long-running story. Farage might soon win the latest battle, but may well end up losing the war. And with his lifelong ambition to take it to number 10. The knives are out. Yeah, it's game on. Yeah, game on. We think Nigel and Reform are a uniparty containment project, the Tories 2.0, the teal Tories. And that's not what we want. We don't want that. That's not good enough. All right, there you go. At least the Express actually giving Rupert a little bit of a proper hearing. That article was top of their website this morning. All right. It's very close to 9 a.m. I was going to talk a little bit about the Zorro Ranch. But maybe I'll save that for tomorrow. It's not going. That story's not going anywhere, is it? The horrors of Zorro. Apparently, just real quick to say, Jeffrey Epstein had a giant mansion out in New Mexico, sort of near Albuquerque, in between Albuquerque and Santa Fe, something like that, out in the desert of New Mexico. And some say some of the worst excesses and crimes went on there. Like actual killings and like real, real insane horrors, like Marquis de Sade level horrors. We'll save it for another day. We've got to get on. It's nearly nine. Let's have a look at what happened on this day in history. I like doing that segment. You guys seem to like doing that segment. On this day in history, April the 28th, down through the centuries, what happened of note? Shall we have a quick look? Here we go. In the year 1611, establishment of the Pontifical and Royal University of Santo Tomas, the Catholic University in the Philippines, the oldest existing university in Asia, and the largest Catholic university in the world. 1611, that's early, isn't it? You know, the Philippines only became Spanish possessions formally in like the 1560s, wasn't it? I think whoever runs this website, they've got a, maybe whether they're Filipino or they seem to mention the Philippines a fair bit, don't they? Whether they've got a, why they do that. But interesting nonetheless, interesting nonetheless. All right. In the year 1770, British Captain James Cook aboard HMS Endeavour first lands in Australia at Botany Bay. Harry, now, let me ask you. Do you reckon I've got loads and loads of hours in conversation with one Mr. Luca Johnson all about the life and career of James Cook? Yeah, I have. Yeah, it's there. LoadsCeasers.com for as little as £5 a month. Do consider signing up, bronze tier membership. Thousands and thousands of hours of content behind that paywall. Some very, very good stuff. Stuff by Stelios, an actual PhD in philosophy, and an actual real-life Athenian philosopher. Dan Tubbs, economic stuff. Right. Some old Josh, lots and lots of old Josh Firm stuff, psychology. Postgrad in psychology. And of course, a few hundred hours of me talking about history. If that interests you, do consider it. James Cook. Yeah, Botany Bay, Australia. Yeah. Came to a sticky end himself, didn't he? We mentioned Magellan yesterday, ended up getting chopped to pieces by an indigenous native islanders. James Cook came to a similar sticky end, didn't he? In the year 1789, Fletcher Christian leads a mutiny on HMS Bounty against the captain, William Bligh, Captain Bligh, in the South Pacific. I haven't actually got any content on that, but I would do that at some point. It's a great story, the mutiny on the Bounty. Mutiny on the Bounty, great story. Captain Bligh was a horrible, sort of horrible martinet, sort of taskmaster of a captain, and in the end the people on his boat mutinied, but they couldn't go back to England because they'd be hung for mutiny even if their captain was a douche. So they're on the run forever now. They have to just find a new life somewhere in the Pacific. Some of them did. A lot of them end up on the Pitcairn Islands, wasn't it? The Pitcairns. Let's not about what ended up happening ultimately on that island, those islands. Inbreeding and incest, that's what ended up happening there. So let's move on. On this day in 1910, the first night air flight by Claude Graham White takes place in England. That's interesting. I like the history of flight and aviation, don't I? The first ever night flight, 1910. Isn't it? Not many years later, and they're doing acrobatics, dogfights in the skies above Flanders, Belgium, Northern France in World War One. On this day in 1937, Pan Am operates the first scheduled commercial Trans-Pacific flight. That's interesting to know, isn't it? 1937, you might think it was before that, but a normal person just could not get a plane across the Pacific before that. Still be dodgy and shaky even 1937. I'd be worried about that. Going on that. Okay, in 1977, on this day, Andreas Bader and members of the terrorist group Red Army Faction, otherwise known as the Baader-Meinhof Gang, are jailed for life after a trial lasting nearly 2 years in Stuttgart in Germany. What's the Baader-Meinhof Gang, you ask? What's the Red Army Faction, you might ask? Or just commies in West Germany that killed loads of people, blew things, loads of things up over years and years and years. Yeah, leftist terrorism in West Germany for years and years and years. They don't talk about the Baader-Meinhof Gang very much, do they? You'd probably have to specifically type that in to find out about it, because the mainstream don't talk about it. They talk about Cable Street. Yeah. Don't mention the Baader-Meinhof Gang. Yeah, just full-blown. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. That's not just me, people that are ever so slightly off the left and I smear them as communists. No, they were full-blown. Full-blown trying to destroy... Sort of, well, they thought that West Germany was like basically fascist and stuff. And capitalist, obviously, they hate capitalism. Capitalism itself, even that is a problem. So, yeah. Whether they were helped by the Stasi and the East German intelligence services. But they killed loads of people. They killed quite a few people. Loads and loads of different bombings and shootings, and loads of people got injured and wounded along the way. They're a full-blown paramilitary. A load of them got killed in shootouts with police and stuff. Full-blown communist paramilitary terrorists in West Germany. The Baader-Meinhof Gang. There you go. The vast majority of political violence is nearly always from the left. Bomb-throwing Reds. All right. Should we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Let me do this with my thing so I can see. All right. Right. Rumble Rants. In at number one, Global Church History. Of course it is, because of course it is. You can rely on him. I think you can rely on him. He's a reliable chap. In at number one. You say, Global Church History, today in the year 224, Ardashir the First, Sassanian, defeats and kills Artaban V, ending the Parthian Empire. Yeah, so that brings in the Sassanid period, right? Parthians, not to be confused with Persians. Same part of the world, roughly speaking. They're not like the ancient Persians that Alexander fought. Parthians are something else. Anyway, they get defeated by the Sassanids. Brings in the Sassanids, so yeah, important. Important, interesting. And in the year 1294, Timur the Lame, so it's all the same person, grandson of Kublai Khan, is elected Mongol Khagan. Yeah, I mean, by the time of Timur, it's a bit different. It's not like true, pure blood Mongols from like the middle of the Asian steppe, is it? Like Timur is more like a half Turkic person by that point. Nonetheless, fascinating. I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. I was on the main podcast. I seem to remember Nick Dixon was on that day. For some reason, Timur came up. I can't remember why. Well, I brought him up, I mean. Can't remember why. I think he was talking about like the worst crimes in all history or something. And I was like, well, there is Tamerlane. There is Timur the Lame. Probably his campaigns were like the bloodiest campaigns of all time. Of all time. Was it something like 5% or more? 5% of the entire world's population were killed by the campaigns of Timur. Yeah, extremely, sort of insanely bloody. All right, if you've never heard of him, check it out. Watch a documentary about Tamerlane. Interesting. Fascinating. All right, for Tea and Barber says, morning, mate. All right? Yeah, I'm all right. How are you? I hope you're all good. You say... I think it might be time to get a motivational exercise coach on in the mornings with you. You could call him Mr. Boativator. Very good. For anyone who might not know, there used to be years ago a morning TV like fitness motivation dude called Mr. Motivator. Well, Tim Barber's there says Mr. Boativator. Get it? Cheers. Cheers for Tim Barber. Appreciate it. Okay, TomRat247 says, if you are struggling to see bow press control and mouse wheel up, when in browser, and it'll old man the font size. If you're struggling to see bow, press control and mouse wheel up when in browser, and it'll old man make bigger the font size, I guess you're saying. Is that a message for me? Oh, because I was complaining it's too small. Yeah, Harry can do that, but for some reason, I won't bother explaining to you because it's boring, but for some reason, we can't make it much bigger. I'll talk about it off screen with others. We can make this a bit bigger. Or I could just get glasses or contacts. Probably need to do that anyway. Anyway, thanks for that. You're trying to help out. I appreciate it. Cheers. Okay, Fallen Firebird says, Reform have a network of botted fake accounts on Twitter. Yeah, they do. Based in Ecuador. Yeah, they do. That was shown, wasn't it? It was shown. That constantly retweet each other's reform slop and pretend to be real people. Thousands of followers each. True filth. Yeah. I saw a couple of things on Twitter yesterday where someone or other had sort of just done a bunch of screenshots and just sort of shown it. It seemed to be a slam dunk to me. I haven't spent any real time researching it or anything, but it seemed to be just the case, yeah. And out of Ecuador for some reason. Yeah, it's scummy. Just win the argument. Just be real and authentic and build like a real following and with real people that say real things. Is that too much to ask? Apparently it is. It's a desperate... If it is indeed true... And it does look like it, but, you know, if it is indeed true, it's a last ditch sort of gambit from losers, isn't it, really? If you're resorting to stuff like that, you've already lost at least the momentum, haven't you, at the very least, if not lost the actual battle for minds, hearts and minds, you're already resorting to that. Pathetic. All right, what about the YouTube Super Chats? Harry, you have to do that for me. Could you bring it up on my screen? Engage. There we go. There they are. All right. There's about a dozen or so. Let's read through these then. So, can't read this name. Joseph Dellengerard, something like that. Okay, sorry if I'm reading it wrong. Says, over the past few months, my daily audio consumption has become 90% bow. BBC, SOP, State of Politics, and working my way through Ellie back catalogue. Thanks for the content. No, thank you for consuming the content. Appreciate it. Massively appreciate it. Let me try and get your name perfectly right here. Give me a couple of seconds. It's one long thing. Joseph Delano Garreed. Joseph Delano Garreed. Well, thank you very much, Joseph. Appreciate it. True fan. It really is honestly flattering when people say stuff like that. I love it. Can't thank you enough. Without you guys, it's not a thing. It just isn't. Mr. Molotov says, I enjoyed your X posts this weekend. On Twitter Saturday night talking about science, wasn't I? Talking about physics and particles and the nature of light and stuff. And okay, thanks for that. If reality itself is fake and gay, e.g. photons, are photons fake and gay? Most important question of our age. Does that mean space was fake and gay this whole time? Don't know. Yeah, but I actually had quite good fun on Saturday evening tweeting about physics and stuff. I do that sometimes. Don't always just tweet about politics. I like to tweet about other stuff. occasionally say something about Formula One, don't I? If anyone follows me on Twitter. Occasionally say something completely random about something completely different. Often tweet about history and things, don't I? But yeah, science stuff. Yeah. What is light, really? What are protons, really? How does it work? Anyway. That's not for this show. Anime Chud Party says, can I become King of England? I'll deport everyone. Well, done. The job's yours. You promised to deport everyone? Well, everyone. Wait. What? Everyone. Can I become King of England? No, unfortunately, you have to be related to George the First of Hanover for that to be the case. Unfortunately, you need to be a direct descendant of them. So, sorry. No can do. Silver Galaxy? Silver Galaxy says, King should fire the PM and abdicate. That'd be funny. You dissolve Parliament and abdicate. Why is that so funny to me? I don't know why that's amusing me so much. Okay. Lone Wolf and Cub says, Morgan McSweeney looks like Andrew Lawrence, lol. He does a bit, actually, doesn't he? A little bit. Like a slightly beefier Andrew Lawrence. Yeah, he does. I've not really noticed that before, but now you say it. The second I read that, I was like, yeah, he does a bit. Yeah. Okay, the last, what, four or five here? Adrian Waller. Adrian Waller says, have you done an epochs about the political realignment between 1761 and 1768? It could be an interesting analogue of the current situation. So what's that? Is that, what is that? Is that like the 7 years, I can't remember off the top of my head. I've done stuff about Pitt the Elder. Is that that period? Just off the top of my head. Is that like the 7 Years' War? I've done one about the 7 Years' War. I've done one about the War of the Spanish Succession, the War of the Austrian Succession. I certainly haven't done anything specifically. You talk about like the Whigs, the Whiggish movement there. I haven't done anything specifically focusing on that. Perhaps I could, perhaps I should. I've done a thing all about Pitt the Elder, though. I think that's that period, isn't it? Walpole, did I do one all about Robert Walpole? I think I did. I think I've done one just focusing on Robert Walpole, which is earlier than that, though, isn't it, Walpole? Okay, I'll have a look into it. All right. What's this say? 00 Staffan. 00 Staffan says, has doing this show daily changed how you read the news? Any assumptions you've had to drop or had reinforced? That's an interesting question. Not really, no. I mean, sorry, actually. Reinforced, yes. Sorry, yeah. Any assumptions changed? Not really. Reinforced, yeah. Yeah, quite a lot. Like, the Star is more sloppy than I thought it was. Like, the Guardian and the Metro are more obnoxious and annoying than I thought they... Well, actually, that's about... Most of it I already had, you know, in my own mind. Not much has changed. A few reinforcements, yeah. How much the print media copy each other, go with like the same story, the same headlines, even the exact same image. The degree of that was more than I even thought it was. You know, I'd noticed before. For years I've noticed. You can't not notice. But the extent that they do it, I didn't quite realise the extent to which that goes on. Their little group that all the editors are in. Surely they're in cahoots. Surely they're all talking to each other, like, on a daily basis. What stories to go with and what ones not to go with. What photojournalists. Seven out of eight of us are going to put the exact same image on the front page. There's no way they can't be talking to each other, is there? So then it's a cabal, isn't it? couple of things like that have been reinforced in my mind. No real assumptions that I had before where it's just not the case. Hardly any, I don't think. I can think off the top of my head. Good question, though. Really good question. All right. Varaug 231 says, the only thing I remember of Brown, I guess you're talking about Gordon Brown. Gordon Brown takes like sun. Me being a child at the time, is him insulting some journo after he thought the mic was off and this was somehow important news, as if not liking someone is a crime. Yeah, no, I remember that. That's not exactly what happened, but so what happened was he was going door to door, like for campaigning, and he knocked on the door, and there's cameras around because he's the Prime Minister, so it's all sort of a kind of a phony photo opportunity type thing. Knocks on the door, some little old lady, some just genuine, authentic little old lady who doesn't owe Gordon Brown or the government anything, knocks on the door, and she starts moaning about like immigration and stuff. Completely normally, completely reasonably. And he's like going, yes, no, I know, no, no, I know. Right? And then, after that, he gets back in his own car, the Prime Ministerial Jag, but he's still mic'd up. And one of his people in his entourage was like, what was that? What was that about? How did that go? And Gordon Brown just goes, oh, it's just some terrible woman, some, what do you call it, some bigoted old woman or something, he said. And that was mic'd up. And people were like, not a very nice way to speak about just a little old lady who's got genuine concerns about her country. Just call her a bigot and dismiss her. And he had to go and apologise. Oh, it's so embarrassing. It blew up on all the papers, because of course it did. And he went back to her house and knocked on her door again, like a day or two later, saying, I'm sorry. You probably saw in the news that I was still mic'd up and I called you some bigoted old lady. Sorry about that. And all the cameras are there to catch that as well, of course. Oh, it was so embarrassing. Gordon Brown, he wasn't a very good politician, was he? Wasn't a very good politician. Sold loads of our gold bullion reserves at a ridiculously bad price. Why would you do that? Again, like any red. Just undermine us, really. Ultimately. Terrible politician. Bit of a dickhead of a man as well. Gordon Brown. Ugh, gross. All right. That's the show. Oh, there's one last one, sorry. From Field Marshal Dawn Browning. $10, 10 Aussie dollars. You didn't say anything, but I really, really appreciate that. Well, there's a big sort of GIF thing there. Thanks, Dawn. Thanks, love. Really appreciate it, as always. Properly appreciate it. Love ya. All right. That's the show. It is now 17 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, on Tuesday the 28th of April in the year of our Lord 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers. Thank you for joining me. Do join me again tomorrow morning. I shall be here tomorrow morning. Try and make the best of the day ahead. You know, carpe diem. Seize the day, if you can. Your time's the most valuable thing you will ever have. You'll never have this day again. Once it's gone, it's gone. Try and make it count. All right, until tomorrow morning. Take care.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.